listening to WRRS 22, Pirate Radio for the Wasteland. You ever watch one of them old pre-war movies? These things are terrible, and I can't believe folks spent so much energy making them. I was watching one about a vampire that roamed around all New Orleans. Catch is, he wasn't actually a vampire, just a crazy guy running around with fake teeth. Nothing I really want to sink my teeth into. Anyways, time to let the show roll.
All right, let's go, team.
Sure. Hazel will follow behind Clark, just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Okay.
All right, Clark, you're headed towards that pyramid, right? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, sure.
So you're passing by a number of different graves. A lot of these graves have actually been dug up, and they're kind of empty, and the coffins have kind of moved to the side. As you approach this pyramid, there's kind of these golden doors to it that you approach. They're normal sized doors, but they're double doors that are made of solid gold with a little handle. What are you gonna do?
I don't know, knock again, I guess.
Nothing happens.
Huh. Pep, why don't you try knocking?
Yeah, okay. Pep's gonna do like a little like shave and a haircut knock.
Okay. Do strength plus athletics for difficulty one for me.
Strength. Athletics. Rolling.
Oh, two successes. Get an AP, and you got a luck point from that as well. So make sure to add that. You knock on the door, and the door just opens itself. You all see the interior of this pyramid. You all kind of step inside and can peer. In the middle, there is a coffin, but it is a large area, actually. A number of different, almost like backgrounds, have been draped up to kind of make like a various scenes. There's a Western one. There's a space one. There's like a cityscape. There's like a rooftop, a street, a number of different scenes with some props in them. There's various cameras about. And you see one guy standing in a group of ghouls. It's a human that is standing in this group of ghouls. They are on the Western set. He is sitting on top of a prop horse, and he is pointing and kind of mumbling and telling these ghouls what to do. The ghouls look slack-jawed and are moving very slowly. You see one that's behind the camera that's kind of operating it. The other ones are dressed in these cowboy outfits and Native American garb. They are, it seems like, pursuing this horse, but the horse is stationary. It seems ceramic from that. And the other sets have appropriate props with the settings, a space setting, that kind of stuff, cars in the streets. But there is a coffin in the middle of it. There is a light shining down from the very center of the room as well onto the coffin. What are you all going to do?
They're making a drive-in movie.
But nobody drives anymore.
Well, not around here. Back home. That's the thing.
This place just gets weirder and weirder. All right, Clark, what are we going to do?
As soon as the door opened and Clark took in the whole scene, Clark's kind of just been slack-jawed, staring at it. Pose himself a little bit and say, yeah.
Yeah?
This isn't exactly what I was expecting. So,
I mean, that shouldn't affect a master of his craft, though.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Okay, let's go talk to the guy, on the horse, maybe? Kind of looks...
What, you don't know?
No, we'll go talk to the guy on the horse.
Okay, no problem. All right.
You guys see something weird with those ghouls?
Actually, I do, like, a perception check on the ghouls to see if they're... regular ghouls, if they are feral ghouls, or if they're people in ghoul outfits, maybe?
What flavor?
Yeah, what flavor of ghoul are we talking about here?
Yeah, do you like a perception plus science for difficulty zero?
Is this like a diet ghoul or what? Perception and science. Yeah, one success, but a complication.
I don't know of a good complication, so like you get like an earache. Darn.
That hits a little close to home.
It's
like ear strain.
What can I think that's minorly inconveniencing? I'm like, tinnitus is great. Yeah. The ghouls look to themselves as like they have like the capacity of being feral, but they are controlled. Like they are not, like nonverbal. They look like that they are just like their brains are still there. They're not focusing and like killing things or eating things, but they still have some like facilities.
So are they like in that between stage?
Kind of. They're nonverbal though.
Oh, wow.
They're able to be directed. They can understand a little bit.
Oh, okay. I would really like to study.
That's what it
these
seems
guys.
Like to you.
Charm I'm person's really pretty like low level spell, guys. So.
Yeah.
So is command. So it could be a cleric or a wizard. Maybe a bard.
D&D. Your D&D is
maybe
showing.
You have abolish undead or something like that. That's a spell, right?
That's what I need is turn
undead. Turn
undead,
heal, channel divinity.
These are all things that your character in our separate game could have taken, but no, you're trying to purify the zoo. Yeah. Anyways.
Just cast geese. Why not?
Anywho, Clark, you seem to be the leader of this conglomerate. Hazel, you figured out the ghoul situation. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. We're going to go talk to the man on the horse. That's the plan.
Okay, yeah. So you're just like walking right up to him?
Yep.
Charisma plus athletics for a difficulty 3.
Yeah.
See, that's a roll.
We got this. No worries. No worries. Who's worried?
One success. Yeah, you step into this area with the ghouls filming a camera, and you approach the man on the horse, and he looks at you, and this is kind of like he's a white man with a cowboy outfit on. His hair is kind of slicked back, his long face, and he says,
cut, that's enough. We need to stop rolling the cameras. This shot is definitely interrupted. Who are you?
My name's Clark. And I'm looking for Nate. What was the guy's name?
So you mean to tell me that you have lived your entire life and you don't know me, you don't know my works, you don't know the things that I have put out into the lifeblood of America, as I would call it?
Look, buddy, I don't know fucking much, okay? I just know that the lady with the house that walks around said that you might be a helpful individual, so I came to say hello.
I don't like dealing with the witch with the walking house. That's not my particular set of skills, if you know what I mean. But what I do know is I hate people ruining my shots for my upcoming feature film, which you have definitely done, and you have indeed called me by the wrong name, and you should know me as Nicholas Prisons, one of the
Nicholas, that was it. Yeah, Nicholas, that's
I'm
what
one
she
of the
said
absolute
the
greatest
name was.
Actors. I'm not done. Oh, thank you very much. You've interrupted me now in 3 different ways. Is this how everyone treats me? No, but it seems like it's you. I will need to call security soon if you keep on interrupting my artistic endeavors. In fact, this is making me mad. And he gets down from his horse and he walks over to a chair that says director. And he snaps his fingers, and a ghoul comes running out with a glass of water, gives it to him. And he yells at the ghouls, take 5. And then the ghouls all kind of slump over slightly, all just wearing their outfits. That's your interaction with him. And he is drinking his water in his chair. What's everybody doing now?
So anyways, the guy's name was Nicholas. I forgot what the name was. Again, honestly, didn't think I'd get this far. Not the planner. Definitely not the planner of the group. I kind of regret some of the things I said back there. Lonnie, especially, you know, I was mad at you about not using the shish kebab. I'm sorry. But I don't like this guy. I don't like this guy. You know, he's one of those guys, like, I don't like the whole, I am the master communicator here, but I...
Sometimes...
It's him. It's him.
Sometimes you just gotta eat a shit sandwich. And you just gotta... You just gotta push through.
You're just so much better at eating shit sandwiches.
All right.
You're just
all right,
so much better at that.
Guys, no eating. If anybody's gonna eat... I think it's my turn to eat the shit sandwich. Okay.
What no, was the guy's Hazel, last name again? No.
What was the guy? Wait, hold on. This I don't need to be a good talker for this.
I think it was Nicholas Spock. Nicholas Speck.
Speck. Okay. All right. So I'm going to take a second. I'm going to like fluff my hair as well as I can, considering I still have sharp stuff sticking out of it. And I'm going to sort of like try and adjust myself so I look a little bit more feminine. And I'm going to actually walk up to where he is.
Hazel, wait, take this with you.
What am I taking?
Wait, where's, hold on. I gotta find my food. Here, take this Nuka-Cola. Take this Nuka-Cola to him.
Okay.
Just like the commercials.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Okay.
You want to grab a Snickers too?
So she's gonna run. She's gonna walk, and as she gets closer, she actually speeds up, and then she stops and turns and looks straight at him and goes, "Oh my God! It's you! It's you! It's Nicholas Speck, right? I'm your biggest fan ever! Oh my God! I never thought I'd have a chance to meet you. I'm so impressed." Oh my God, I'm sorry. Please, I'm so sorry for my friends. They're idiots, but here, take this Nuka-Cola, and can I have your autograph? And she takes out her green sketchbook and her pencil, and she goes, "Can I please have your autograph? I will do anything. Please, I am your biggest fan ever. I know all your work. I know everything you've done. I'm actually originally from out west, Hollywood. I know all about you. Can you please?"
Yeah, charisma plus speech for difficulty two. Doing two because you got the last name wrong, but you're doing all the right things and bringing them the Nuka-Cola and everything. So I would have made that higher.
They have the last name. Would, Clark.
Would you like to spend an AP to get an extra?
I would like to.
Yeah. Okay. That brings our pool to three.
Okay. So it is charisma plus speech. And let's go. It's zero. I am going to use a luck point to reroll one of those.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to use... I think I can only use one to re-roll one, but I'll go with
you can only use
if I can
one.
Get it. No, I got nothing. It's still a zero.
Nicholas Prisons looks at you and says, "I'm really not. I appreciate you bringing me this Nuka-Cola, but I'm really not in the mind for fans. I'm in my my artistic space, and I'm not even sure you got my name right in the first place.
I'm so sorry. I get really nervous, and I get really tongue-tied, and I'm
sure,
I'm just,
yeah.
But so out of curiosity, are you setting it so you're, and I get my camera out, and I'm saying, so for your setting shot, are you going to be moving the camera and keeping the horse stable, or have you figured out that if you're brilliant, so of course you tie a rope to the horse and have the camera pulled smoothly towards the horse like a panning shot so that it looks like the horse is actually moving, right? That's absolutely that's got to be your plan. It would look amazing, and it's exactly right in your wheelhouse.
That's the effect I was going for, but
oh, that's fantastic. Do you need some help to pull it off? We have
The problem is I had a man run in here in front of me, accosting me, and my artistic vision for the scene is just, frankly, it's gone.
Well, you're playing a cowboy, right?
I'll give you two options. You can either go find my lead writer, mm-hmm. have him rewrite the scene, or okay. you can come up with a better idea. Because frankly, I don't even know if this is going to be successful with audiences today. Do audiences today understand the dynamic of you know, the great migration of people across the West, the hardship of the cowboys, and just the evil of the Native Americans? Will they understand that piece, that concept?
So if you make it relatable to them, it depends. If you're going for an audience on the West, it's not a stretch to say Caesar's Legion is a great stand-in for Native Americans. If you're going with the East Coast, I would say if you have the Native Americans look like raiders, if they have raider-like paraphernalia, it won't be a stretch for your audience to see them as the bad guys. Unless, of course, your audience you're kind of aiming for is like the Raider contingent, in which case, I would say go out of your way to make the Indians as peaceful as possible before you slaughter them.
Charisma plus speech for difficulty one. Actually, difficulty zero. I think that was explained well enough. I'd say difficulty zero. I'm not going to try to give you a hard time.
All right. Well, it's a zero, so...
Okay. Oh, well, all right, then I will. So he heard you say everything, but really the only thing that stood out to him in all of that was the Caesar's Legion and how it would that would really resonate with people in the West. And he was like, he looks at him and said, you know what? You're a genius. Truly. You're a genius. I'm gonna have you promoted. In fact, I know that you're probably like a busboy or girl. You're gonna be one of my
craft services. Right. Yeah, craft services. Yeah. Sure. Did you
normally? I would give you a card to be a part of the union, but I mean the unions are long dead, and frankly, we're all very happy about that. So, I'm gonna redress the scene. What we're actually gonna do? If you could get one of your do you have anybody grips? In the costume department?
One of my grips? I'll go get one of my grips to
if you could help. Please, are you familiar with the idea of a toga? Do you know what that is?
I am quite familiar with the... Yes. If we have some sheets laying around, we could probably make up some togas.
Okay, that's great. And give me an elevator pitch on who Caesar's Legion are.
She kind of turns around and for the first time you see kind of her friends behind her see like a crack in her facade as she looks at them like, what am I getting myself into? Then she turns back around and goes, all right, so Caesar's Legion are a bunch of posers. Now follow me on this. They read about in books or heard about through history this fantastic group of intelligent people who tamed a wild world for themselves and decided that a bunch of idiots who don't even know how to use guns would be able to do the same thing as long as they dress and act like them, right? So you're following me. So already they're working at a deficit, but they're still dangerous. So they're
okay.
Yeah.
Right. He motions for the other three of you all to approach him now. And he, you all approach him and he points at Pep and he says, give me your elevator pitch on who Caesar's Legion is.
A bunch of a-holes. they're like, nobody likes them. They do some really rotten stuff, like way out west. Nobody likes them. Like everybody hates these guys. They're like, I don't know. It's just a bunch of a-holes.
And he points at Clark and he says, now you, what's your elevator pitch on Caesar's Legion?
I don't know. They die as easy as everybody else.
Right. The last one over there, you and the power armor, the other power armor. What's your elevator pitch on Caesar's Legion?
I think they're fascists and they like little boys.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. All right. He says, give me about 15 minutes, and we're going to shoot a scene. I have a brilliant idea that you all will love. So if you'll give me 15 minutes to set it all up, I'm going to include you all in this spectacular. So just bear with me. And he kind of goes off to another set and is directing these ghouls to set up a Greek theater. What are you all doing in this time?
Okay, guys, I don't know what's going on, but at least he's talking to us now. Maybe if we make him happy enough, like during the next like filming break or whatever we're gonna call it, he'll like sit down with us and actually tell us what we want to know. Especially if we ask him to tell us what he knows as a pitch for a future project or something. I don't know, like some sort of like Godzilla of the Wasteland thing, maybe.
So do you guys think they're like drinking like the swamp water and that's why they're all like fucking weird?
Honestly, if I didn't know better, I would say these are ghouls that are halfway between being sentient and being feral, which I've never run across one in that stage of decline before, which also means that I'm not entirely sure that they're all safe to be around. So we should probably keep our eyes open.
Or did you mean the director and the witch and the guy with the honey and the Spider-Man? Did you mean them?
I like.
Yeah, just
the witch doesn't like me, but I like the witch. This guy, he may like me.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Yeah.
So, Clark, did your girlfriend say this guy knew where the vault was? Or, like, why are we talking to this guy?
She said that there's a group called Guys Not, and that they might have more information for us. There is a vault out here. She confirmed that it's here. She doesn't know where it is. She also didn't know where Guys Not is.
So we need
She's up here,
us.
You know, 30 feet up in the air. She can't tell me where things are. And then she said, oh, there's this Nicholas guy. He's kind of weird.
So he knows where Gaia's Knot is, and then we go talk to the people at Gaia's Knot, and hopefully...
Is it local?
Normal?
She said it's in the swamp somewhere.
GM, all right, we got 15 minutes. I want to look around this place and see if there's any clues about if there's a set called Gaia's Knot, or if there's anything in this studio that might lead us to some clues about Gaia's Knot.
Well, I would also like to draw upon my local knowledge to see if that's something I've heard of in Old Nolans.
I would like to take a look at the filming equipment.
Right, so Lonnie, you're trying to remember things about Guys Not.
If I've heard of them, I mean, I'm...
Yeah. I'm just organizing everybody out here.
Yeah.
So we'll go ahead and do that first. I don't even think you need to roll for that. I think that you've heard, like, rumor in like a they're not an established force, you've never met like to your knowledge you've never met anyone from there, but there has been rumors of a group of people that are, you know, as we know, like as players as ourselves, that there is like a such thing as Guys Not that Jared you came up with.
Right, so exist. You know what, in fairness, allow me, indulge me, to spend a luck point. And I will create...
That would be...
So, I've spent a luck point. I think Lonnie will have heard about Gaia's Knot as maybe just a group of outsiders who have eschewed civilization, who, in spite of actually maybe being invited, which I don't think that may track in Marty Bouffant's Old Nolans. Ella Fitzgibbon's Old Nolans, maybe. I'm not sure. But we'll say that Gaia's Knot has basically eschewed society, and that's weird. Why would you do such a thing? Only weirdos don't join, you know, a communal group. That might be the extent of what Lonnie has heard. Nobody's ever seen them, mainly because Gaia's Knot doesn't really want to be found. But they kind of exist, and probably a bit antagonistic with Old Nolans, which Old Nolans' government will spin to be like they're just, you know, maybe like a terrorist group or something. So that's probably what Lonnie knows about them, and a lot of that's just going to be governmental spin.
Yep.
Well, that's great. Right. They think of us the same way at this moment.
That's true.
They sound like our kind of people, honestly.
Pep, I'm going to have you roll luck plus survival for a difficulty one. So you're messing with camera equipment, so you're going to do probably a intelligence plus survive. No, science for you're trying to understand the fullness of the, like, how to work the camera. Is that what you're trying to figure out? Can you hear me? Hazel? One of the names.
Yes.
Right.
What are you trying to do with the cameras? What was your game plan for that?
So first off, I want to see if the camera is actually functional, has like actual film in it, or if this guy is just tripping balls on a swamp honey.
Okay, yeah, you check that it has actual film in it.
Okay. So I'm careful not to expose and ruin the film. Important.
Yes.
So it's all functional. It's in good working order. It's oiled. He's actually filming a movie.
Yeah, he's actually filming a movie.
Okay.
Well, with this time, Clark, what are you doing?
I don't think Clark would be doing anything. I think he's waiting to see how this scene thing is going to play out. I don't think he's, right. You know.
Waiting back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing a little stall. Yeah. Pep, you look around with that failure that you just rolled. Your failure you rolled. You search around. The only thing that's weirdly out of place is the coffin in the middle of the ground that has the beam of light coming to it from, like, the ceiling. That's weird. But otherwise, it's just, like, this stone temple with a number of different movie sets and cameras in it. Lonnie, you have remembered the stuff from Old Nolans. Was there anything that you wanted to do with your 15 minutes before the scene is ready to go?
Yeah, I really have nothing going on. I've probably heard about moving pictures. That's probably not a luxury that I've been able to enjoy. And this whole thing of just, like, the last time I was in a big empty room with a bunch of just, like, ghouls standing there, things got real weird afterward. So, that there might be some anxiety building up. Classic Lonnie.
I like it. At the end of this 15 minutes, hear kind of like a ding from the bell, and you hear the director over there go, "Right, we're gonna film the scene now." And you approach him, and he's wearing a toga with kind of this like golden headpiece that has little leaves on it. He hands you all togas as well, and the director looks at you, says, "Please go ahead and put these on for me."
Pep's gonna put his over his power armor.
Yeah, well,
that is a mental image that will live in my heart forever.
Praetorian guards wore armor, right? Like that's
right. Totally, yeah.
I think it would be pretty imposing if two Praetorians flanked Kaiser here.
I'm impressed. Not a lot of people know that Kaiser is based on the name Caesar. Nice.
I've heard it pronounced like that. We'll get into etymologies later, but yeah.
All right, so you all are wearing the togas. He directs you towards seats, essentially, in this forum, and he stands at the middle of it. looks at you all and he says, okay, the way that the scene is going to play out is I am going to do a quick monologue, and then we're going to pause the scene, essentially, and I'm going to feed you lines, and you're going to step up. These are essentially going to be ideas. So I'll feed you the lines when we get to that. Once you feed the lines, I speak a little bit more about it, and then we'll be good. We can wrap, and if you guys have any questions for the day, we'll talk about that at the end. How's that sound? Does that sound good to everybody?
Wait, so do I say the lines, or you're saying
the
lines?
I'm going to feed you a line. I'm going to feed you a line, and you're going to say it so that we capture it on the moving picture camera. New to the movie industry? Are you like an entryway?
He's more like a stuntman.
I'm more of a doer. I'm like the doer of the group and also like the talker of the group. So if you need me to talk, well, I can be the talker.
You seem to be very into your roles, so let me tell you your role. Your role is going to be a forum man number three. Are you cool with that, or do we need to find a replacement?
Does it involve doing things or talking?
It involves talking.
Yeah, I can do that. I can do that for sure. Yep.
Okay. We're going to begin the scene now.
So you all are situated around this forum. Two of you in power armor with the togas on over them. I guess you all have put the togas on over your current armor.
Yeah, I'm going to keep my armor underneath.
Other ghouls are situated around you. They are dressed in togas as well. The ghouls are operating the cameras and lights and the microphone. The scene begins.
People of Rome, hear me now when I say that we should come together. That for too long we have been separated into many different provinces. We've been separated by sea, by wall, by the fences of our farms, and together we can form a true empire based around many different qualities. But I don't know exactly the qualities are you all want to bring to the table, so I look to the people now. Time for your input to join around me in my legion. What qualities do you see in this?
At that point, the lights go on and face towards you all.
All right, now guys, I'm gonna feed you your lines. So he points at
Hazel and says,
ma'am, if your line is we shouldn't use guns, we should use machetes.
Can I improv it, or are we doing a straight line?
If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Gotcha. Okay. You know, traditional values being what they are, we should not use guns. We should use honorable weapons that we swing with our own hands, like swords, or that we draw the strings of the bows with our own arms and use arrows.
Yeah, charisma plus speech for difficulty zero. And I'm going to wait to get everyone's rolls on their lines after this, so I will check that in a bit.
It's a zero. I just hit it.
the next person he points to is Pep, and he says, all right, now your line is
an absolute rotten person, and I love to be rotten. Let's be rotten.
I am an absolute rotten person. I've murdered innocents, and I've done bad things, and I'm not proud of them. I wasn't proud of them, but now I'm really proud of them, because I'm a bad man. I'm a very bad, bad man.
Ah. Yeah, charisma plus speech for difficulty zero. Next, he looks at Clark. And he will say,
all right, your line is, I die really easily. I am a frail man. Please kill me. We should all die.
Fuck you.
Yeah, charisma Mark. Plus speech for difficulty five. Lonnie, your line is, he looks at you and he says, now you say, I'm a little boy. I love all the little boys. We should all be little boys and fascists. Yeah.
Oh my God.
If I may improv here, I deserve the bacchanalian pleasures and for the age of consent to be lowered.
Okay, charisma plus speech for difficulty two. I would say.
This is not good.
No, it's fine.
All right, now we get to read them and weep here. Yeah, Hazel.
It's not good.
Oof, yeah. Hazel, you got zero successes. Mike, you managed to pass that because you had a difficulty zero, but you do have a complication.
It's us with the complication.
Yeah, Clark, you just like...
I would like to point out that I could re-roll this, and I'm choosing not to.
Okay, at this point, the director, the guy leading the scene, kind of looks at the cameraman, looks at you all, and says, "You all truly are some of the worst actors I've ever worked with. The only one that's worth anything lost his costume in the middle of his wording. Now, I gave you a line-for-line approach, things to say in the camera, and you can't even say that. The only one that came close enough was my naked man in the power armor. So, I'm going to finish my dialogue, and we're going to cut the scene. I will not be hiring you again. You will not get your lunch for the day. I'll pay you your wages, but not a cent more, and you'll have to get out of here." And he begins his soliloquy of, I think that what we see here today is what we'll get. We will never use guns. We will only use weapons. We'll be rotten little people. We'll be so rotten, we'll be... brown spots on us like a moldy banana. We'll be frail folk that die so easily, and we'll just love little boys. We'll love them so much, and we'll love being fascists as well. And this is what we will call Caesar's Legion, and it's for all. It's for everyone. Maybe even one day it'll be for the people of Hollywood and the west coast of distant shores. And he winks, and the scene ends. And he returns to his director's chair very angry.
Hazel, you are muted. In our defense, they really liked our improv at the Sweet Chariot.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to get us a SAG card, though. Sorry.
You know, in hindsight, now I realize that he wasn't saying like I was gonna die really easy. He just wanted me to say it for like his little play.
Oh my god, so that's Clark. On
me. Just now got that. Okay.
So that's on me for sure. Should I like go apologize to him?
No, I actually feel kind of good that we screwed up his Caesar's Legion propaganda film, because I don't think anyone who's gonna watch this movie is gonna go join. So I think we did a good job.
Yeah, I think that's a mission accomplished, but I don't think we're going to get anything else out of this guy.
We're not getting lunch, which is kind of a bummer. I mean, I didn't even know lunch was being offered.
Are we done here then?
Well, let me go apologize to the guy.
Okay.
Hazel, he is the talker. Let him do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's also the doer, as he keeps reminding us.
That's right. So I'm going to go do some talking.
All right. So you approach the man. He is drinking his half-drinking Nuka-Cola, looking very sullen, sitting in his toga and his golden leaves. What are you doing?
Oh, God, what's his name? I'm actually bad with names in real life. This is appropriate.
Isn't it Nicholas?
Nicholas Prisons. Nicholas Prison. Something like that.
I just love that Clark keeps messing up his last name. I'm here for that.
Well, Nicholas, director, sir, I wanted to come apologize. In hindsight, I realized that you just wanted me to say the words that you were saying to me, and you weren't actually, like... saying those words about me, and that's my bad. I didn't get it. So I feel like the criticism was fair. It's noted. And I'm hoping you got something you can use out of your play, whatever you called this one. What is this?
Do a charisma plus speech for difficulty 2 for that apology.
Yeah.
2 successes. Very nice. Yeah, he looks at you and he says, "So when I was a kid and I had my first, you know, role in the movies, I played a princess. I played a little girl that put a wig on. And I didn't do very well. So, you know, if this is your first time, I understand it. It's okay. You know, there'll be other days to work, but, you know, but you put it out there. You did it. You did your best effort of what you thought and what you assumed. It's a lot working with the biggest name such as myself. So I get it."
Well, thanks. I, you know, it's always nice to sort of learn, get out there, try new things, especially when you don't feel like you have much time left. So yeah, you know, I appreciate that.
What do you mean by not much time left?
Oh, I'm going to die in, like, I don't know, 5 weeks at this point, something like that. Well, actually, I should clarify. The computer said we were all going to die in 5 weeks. But I'm going to die because I'm going to get old that fast. Everybody else is going to die because of this, like, cataclysmic golf thing. I don't know, giant monster. Who knows?
Well, that's sad because I'll, you know, the thing about me is I'll never die.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, this thing is going to kill you. But I get you're, like, philosophically, you're not going to die, right?
Oh, no. I'm an immortal.
Right.
What do you think? Where do you think you are? You think that I like working with a bunch of amateurs on my various films and I'm trying to restart the film industry as we know it? Do you think that I like stuck here for eternity? No, I don't. But I do like the fact that I get to live forever.
Why do you think you're going to live forever?
Oh, so you really haven't figured this out, have you?
I'm not very smart.
Oh, you see, I was a very rich man in my life. Nicholas Prisons, famous actor, numbers, scores of movies, and I built a very special pyramid. Some would say it's a pyramid of power, and that whoever then commits their soul to the pyramid will never die. The only problem is, I can't leave the pyramid. That's what they didn't tell me. So, I am with my binding coffin beneath the light of the pyramid, and I can never leave, or else I'll die.
Oh my god, I just got it.
So what happens if the coffin broke? Would you die then?
Yes, I would be turned quite literally into ashes.
Huh. Interesting. Well, one more question.
Okay, yes. I'm sure that you didn't know this already. I'm sure you have plenty of questions.
Right. One of the reasons why we came here was to ask you, in your infinite wisdom, since you are not a mere mortal, do you know the guy is not folks and where they might be?
He looks at you and he's like, yes, the travelers that come here that have come done some sacred rituals on my coffin. They've given me directions before, but I mean, yes, I guess I could find them. They're probably in a stack of papers somewhere. Interested in that? Wait, why am I mean, I'm happy to help you out, but why do I have to do all this work?
Well, I don't think you should. I think you should get one of your assistants to bring us the papers for you. I'm not suggesting that you do it yourself. I mean, that's peasant work.
You were so smart. You were so intelligent. I'm sorry that I doubted. And he turns to one of the ghouls. If you could please find one of your one of the maps that I've hidden over there in the corner of the paper stack. It's pretty much the only map that I have. If you could find one of those and just
investigate that area. I mean, investigate that area. That would be fantastic. And a ghoul goes over there and searches through the piles and finds a map and pulls it out and looks and turns it to the director and says, investigate, and then puts the map into its mouth and starts chewing and then swallows it.
Ah, see, you hate it when the peasants do that. Do you need this one, or can I just cut this one open to get that piece of map?
I mean, it's a binding ritual. I've binded all of these, so whatever you do, you just can't kill them. I'm not sure how you even kill them.
Oh, but I could cut it open though and get the map out.
I've never done it. I don't know.
I'll try. Let's see.
All right. So what are you gonna do?
Take out the sword and open them up.
Are you just willy nilly, just like.
No, not willy nilly, with some finesse.
Okay, yeah, well, we'll see about that. So do, I would say, perception.
Very, very carefully.
Plus melee weapons for a difficulty 4.
We have 4 AP in the pool.
I don't know. How bad do we want this stinking map? Can't we just show them the map that we have and just be like, hey, point this to it? Can that be the backup plan? We don't spend AP?
Well, you've already decided your action, and I much prefer you sticking to your actions rather than...
No, I'm going to cut him open. I'm just thinking after the fact. Well, I think
a 1 AP investment has a pretty decent return.
Okay. All right. That's I accept that. Let's do that.
Action plus melee weapons is going to be a pretty good roll for you, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's the perception. About a difficulty 4. Perception isn't ideal. Yeah, I only got 1 success.
Okay, you cut this ghoul open. At the moment, teen ghouls then turn and look at you. And their jaws almost like come back together. And they go, and then they start running at you all and Nicholas Prisons.
We're fine.
18 feral ghouls.
That kind of felt inevitable.
Yeah.
Like, Hazel literally has a scalpel you could have borrowed, or you could have picked him up and shook him upside down or something. I don't know.
Well, my other idea was to just use my bare hands and break the jaws of the ghoul apart. But
see, that would have worked.
You know,
and just do some wasteland endoscopy. Like,
like you have a literal surgeon on your team, guys.
You were far away.
I'm wasted. By the way, you were giving the actor's soliloquy. I'm like, oh my God, it's Nicolas Cage's pyramid tomb in New Orleans, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Which I've been to, and it is ridiculous. It's the size of 4 plots, guys. It's huge. And it's the only thing that they couldn't, when he declared bankruptcy, they couldn't take the tomb from him. They could reclaim all of the rest of the stuff that he, like the rest of the real estate he owned. They can't take his tomb from him. It's still his.